Today's message is called Wake Up the Miracles. I want you to turn to John chapter 11 with me. And we're going to read the majority of that chapter this morning. John chapter 11, beginning of verse 1, starts with the story of the raising of Lazarus from the grave. And so I want to get right into that reading this morning. So John chapter 11, you can follow along on the screen, but I'd really like for you to look in your Bible with me. Begins like this. It says, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them down with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are we going to go there again? Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But now I will go and wake him up. I'm going to read that again. Verse 11. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. And when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, even after dying, will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and he wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed out of the village and at a place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep, so they followed her there. And when Mary had arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him? But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry when he arrived at the tomb. in a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. And Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. And Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of those people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. At the beginning of this series, I told you we were going to take a look at some miracles that Jesus had performed and that we were going to dig deeper into the meaning behind these miracles. In my opinion, the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead has more significance than most believers realize or understand. So I'm going to give you three quick points today that we need to understand and know about this miracle, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Point number one, I'm going to get right into it. Point number one, you must believe in him. You must believe in Jesus. Verse 25 and 26, Jesus told her, talking to Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, even after dying, will live even after dying. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? That's what he said to her. He said, you have to believe in me. If you believe in me, then you will live even after dying. And everyone who believes in me will never die. Jesus was saying to Martha and everyone else who would ever hear these words, you and me and everyone else who would ever hear these words, he was saying, believe in me. Trust in me, rely on me, hope in me. The answer to everything in life has to do with our desire and willingness to listen to and be empowered by Jesus. The answer to everything in our lives is all about him. It's all about trusting in him, hoping in him, relying on him, putting our faith in him. Everything in our lives has to do with him. Everything is connected to the influence of this indwelling presence of God, Holy Spirit, in our lives. This is why any focus on our strength or our faith or our willingness to obey or our surrender or our motives is entirely wrong. Don't get me wrong, these things matter, they really do matter, but when I am the focus, when I am relying on my own strength, it's all about me, it's all about my perspective. I will have an earth to heaven perspective, and I will be extremely limited in my perception of what God has already accomplished for me. The focus cannot be on me. The focus cannot be on yourself. It has to be on him. If your focus is on him, then you will have a heaven to earth perspective, as I talked about last week. Not an earth to heaven perspective, but when the focus is on us, even in our trials and our troubles and our tribulations, if the focus is on us, then we will have an earth to heaven perspective, and that's all you will see. But when he is the focus, there is a strength for everything I am assigned to do. When he is the focus, when the focus is on his power, his strength, his anointing for your life, then you will have a courage that you've never had before, never realized before. You will step into a level that you've never experienced before when the focus is on him. Even if you've experienced the anointing and the power of God in the past times of your life, when you focus your attention on Him and He is the focus of everything in your life, then you step into a new anointing, a new place in life. Everywhere you go, you think, you want to rely on the power that you had yesterday. You don't have to rely on the power you had yesterday. He gives you new strength today. He gives you new anointing today. You don't have to rely on yesterday's manna. I love what God did with the Israelites. He gave them manna fresh and new every day. And if they tried to save the manna from yesterday, it had worms the next day. You don't need to look back on past experiences and power to get you through today. You need to look to Him because He has something fresh and new for you today. See, when He is the focus, there is strength. There is so much strength. There is confidence that all things are possible in Christ Jesus, your Lord. We see this in every miracle that Jesus performed. Every miracle, we see this. Jesus never said to anyone, believe in yourself. He never said to anyone, believe in yourself and you will be healed. But Jesus did ask this question. He said, do you believe that I am able to do this? See, the belief has to be in Him. Not in your strength, not in your ability to obey and believe and trust and all of that. It's not in that. It's your hope is in Him. Jesus said this to Jairus about his daughter in Mark 5:36. Jairus' daughter had died while he was waiting for Jesus to come heal her. She had died. And he's standing there, and Jesus knew what was about to take place in his mind and in his heart. He knew what the enemy was doing, and the Bible says this in Mark chapter 5, verse 36. It says, but Jesus, overhearing this, turned and said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. Jesus wanted him to shift his focus from fear to faith. It's time to shift your focus from yourself to Him. It's time to shift your focus from your faith to His faith, from your understanding to His understanding, from your confidence to His confidence. Shift your focus from an earthly to heaven perspective and have a heaven to earth perspective. It's time to believe in Him. You must believe in Him if you're going to see miracles wake up in your life. The second point is this. Point number two is get angry. It's time to get angry. I know this sounds strange coming from a pastor and preaching this type of message and saying something like this, get angry, because, you know, most pastors will tell you, don't get angry, don't get mad, don't do that, and I understand that, but I'm going to show you the perspective of this. It's time to get angry. In fact, it's okay to say this. Look at somebody and say, you need to get angry. Some of you are like, all right, I've been waiting to do this. I've been waiting for permission. Yes. Pastor told me I can get angry. I'm about to get angry in here. Watch this. Verse 33 of the text that we read at the beginning. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw all the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. I want to stop and tell you that this wasn't, when you read this, you know, sometimes we'll say, well, the Greek word was this, and it really meant that. No, this meant anger. The Greek word for this meant anger. He was angry. He was upset. In fact, it said he was deeply troubled. A deep anger welled up in him. And this is what he said. Where have you put him? He was angry. Later in the text, it says, just the next, in verse 34, it says, then, or verse 35 says, then Jesus wept. Says, then he wept. The people were standing nearby, said, see how much they love him. And then somebody else said, well, he healed the blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Can you see what was happening in the crowd that day? Jesus is angry and he's weeping. And some are saying, oh, he loved him so much. And others are saying, well, he could have healed him if he was just here. The crowd had all these emotions and all these feelings and were saying all these things, and Jesus was angry. First of all, I want to tell you, Jesus was not angry because Lazarus was dead. He was not angry because Lazarus was dead. He knew this was going to happen. If you read the text, he knew it. In fact, he told the disciples, "I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake." He said to the disciples, "I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake." He knew Lazarus was going to die. In fact, he said to them, "Look, Lazarus is asleep. I'm going to wake him up." And the disciples didn't understand what he was saying. And the Bible says, then he explained it to them because they didn't understand. Look, Lazarus is dead. Jesus knew he was going to die. He waited purposely so that Lazarus would die because he was going to wake him up. But with waking him up, he wasn't going just to wake up Lazarus or raise him from the dead. He was about to wake up miracles. He was about to wake up a generation of people. He was about to wake up his disciples. He was about to wake them up to what truly can happen if you believe in him. So Jesus was angry. He was angry because he saw all the wickedness that had overcome the world. He was angry because of the hopelessness. He was angry because of the lack of focus on him. He was angry because he said, "Where is the faith? Where is the trust? Where is the hope?" He was angry because he saw all these people weeping and wailing and mourning, and they didn't realize and understand that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who could make him alive again, was standing right in front of them. Their focus was on so many other things except for on Jesus. Jesus wept because of the despair and the fear and the hopelessness that he saw in people. He didn't weep because Lazarus was in the grave. He didn't weep because he was hurt or upset that he had died. He wept because he saw the hopelessness in the crowd around him. Hebrews 1:9 says this. It says that you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness, and therefore your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. God wants us to love righteousness and hate wickedness. It's clear throughout his word. I'm going to show you some more scriptures. He wants us to love righteousness and hate wickedness. If we are following him, that's what should happen. Christ means anointed one. Christ, the word Christ means anointed one. Christian means like the anointed one. So when you call yourself a Christian, you're saying, "I'm like Christ. I'm like the anointed one." So wickedness is from the Antichrist kingdom. Wickedness is from the Antichrist kingdom. The Antichrist spirit always works against the anointing of God. Are you with me? The Antichrist spirit always works against the anointing of God. That's the target for the Antichrist spirit. That's the target for the enemy, is the anointing, because the anointing enables every believer to demonstrate the works of Jesus Christ in our day. The anointing of God working through your life is what enables you to demonstrate the works of Jesus in your life. Without the anointing, you can't do those things. You must have the anointing of the Lord. So the Antichrist spirit works against the anointing. That's what was happening in that day. That was what was happening in that time. The Antichrist spirit was there bringing hopelessness and fear and all of these things. These people were weeping and wailing and mourning when the King of Kings, when Jesus, the anointed one, was standing right in front of them. He had all the power and all authority to wake Lazarus up, and they didn't even see it or realize it. Romans 12:9 says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good." See, the Antichrist spirit will always bring a yoke of slavery to fear, doubt, discouragement, and despair. All of those things come from the Antichrist spirit that work against the anointing of God. Jesus came to set us free from that slavery. Isaiah 10:27 says, "In that day the Lord will end the bondage of his people. He will break the yoke of slavery and lift it from their shoulders." Romans 6:6-8 says, "We know that our old sinful ways were crucified with Christ, the anointed one, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him." We were set free from the yoke of slavery. We were set free from that bondage. We are no longer to walk in that yoke of slavery or bondage to the enemy. If ever we feel something coming against the anointing of God in our lives, we must know that it's the Antichrist spirit, and we must stop it in its tracks. That spirit is working against the anointing because it wants to stop us from carrying out the works of the Lord. 1 Peter 1:14-15 says, "So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy." It's time to get angry with sin and hate wickedness. Oh, let me say it again. I said it's time to get angry with sin and hate wickedness. I don't know if you realize, but our world is in a deep, dark place. There's a lot of wickedness in our world today. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." How many of you have heard this quoted before? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Everybody's heard that. Everybody has heard that. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. The problem is that most people misinterpret this scripture and misinterpret the saying. In fact, it's usually misquoted. Okay? Many people have misunderstood the meaning of this scripture. Many people have thought hope deferred means hope delayed or hope put off. But that's not what this means at all. Hope deferred does not mean hope delayed. And it does not mean hope put off. Hope deferred means to put your hope in the wrong thing. It's actually misplaced hope. Misplaced hope. Hope deferred is putting your hope in the wrong thing. Jesus was so angry and upset because he saw so much misplaced hope around him that day. He saw all of these people weeping and wailing and crying. He saw Martha ran out to him. Look, Martha, it says in verse 21, ran out to him and said this, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." Now, we just read the story. We read the passage of scripture. We saw that Martha ran out to Jesus, but where was Mary when Martha was with Jesus? Back home at the house. Mary stayed at the house. Martha ran to Jesus, and Martha fell down and said, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." Mary was where? Back home. Martha was where? With Jesus. And Martha made this statement. In verse 32, it says that Martha went back to Mary and told Mary, "The master is here. He wants to see you." The Bible clearly does not say that she told her anything. So Martha said this to Jesus. Mary's back at home. Verse 32, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." The exact thing Martha said when she was away from Mary, Mary said when she was away from Martha. What's the point I'm trying to make? I'm trying to show you, this shows us what the talk must have been around the house for the past 4 days. For 4 days, they've been talking about, man, if Jesus had only been here, if he'd only been here, if he had only been here, if he had only been here, then Lazarus would have never died. If he'd only been here, he could have healed him. But now he's dead. Their hope was gone. They had misplaced hope. What Jesus was looking for was that type of hope and faith that says, it doesn't matter if he's in the grave for 4 days or 40 days or 400 days or 400 years. My Lord can raise him again. Jesus was looking for faith that knew that the impossible was possible. And he was angry because they still didn't get it. After all the miracles they had seen, after all the time they had been with him, he's like, they still don't get it. They still don't get it. Let me put it to you this way. I'll say it to you the way Jesus put it. Jesus said, for those who believe, death is not the end. Isn't that what he said to Martha? For those who believe, death is not the end. Point number three is this. So you must believe in him, is point number one. Point number two is you must, point number one is you must believe in him. Sorry, point number two is you must get angry. And point number three is we need to wake up the miracles. We need to wake up the miracles. Verse 11, then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and say it with me and wake him up. I will go and wake him up. Man, I feel the anointing of the Lord here today. There are certain days that I come in here prepared to give the message, and I feel the Lord. I always feel his anointing, but there are some days I just feel it so strongly I can't help but weep. And I think it's because I know he wants to get through to us. He wants to break through some misbeliefs or some confusion or some doubt or fear. When Kim and I came to Michigan, we came, and many of you know this story, we came because we were at a place of dissatisfaction in our lives with church and with where we were with the Lord. We just wanted to see what we read about in our own lives and in our own churches. We just wanted to see the miracles, the signs, the wonders that Jesus did and that the disciples did in the beginning. We wanted to see that alive in the church today. And we weren't seeing it. And we had many conversations after a long time of not speaking about this to each other. We had many conversations about our deep hunger and desire to see this happen in the church. I don't know if any of you can relate to this. I don't know if any of you have ever been reading and just wondering, Lord, why don't we see this today? Why don't we see this right here? I mean, I look around. You can look around at our world. Just look around the room. How many people are hurting or in bondage or in chains and need a miracle in their life? How many people do you know that have been sick and have died without experiencing the healing power of Jesus in their life? How many people do you know that have been praying and asking for a miracle? Tim, you know God can do it. You know God can do it. How many of you know God can do it? But how do we go from knowing he can do it to seeing him do it? I believe God wants to wake up the miracles in his church. Just like he did with Lazarus that day. I believe that Jesus is angry. I believe there's a deep anger welled up inside of him right now because he doesn't see the miracles. He sees hope deferred in his church today. He sees people that just don't know why it's not happening. They don't know where it went. And they don't know how to get back there, and he wants to bring us back there. And I don't know about you, but I can't keep doing this. I can't keep coming. And not seeing this happen in our world today. I'm tired. Anybody tired? It's okay. I'm not quitting. I'm just tired. Anybody tired? I'm tired of seeing disease ravage bodies that belong to the King. Rick, you don't have to live with that. I don't have to live with the thyroid disease that the enemy put on me 20 years ago. I don't have to live with that. Come on, how many of you have something in your body right now you've been living with? Raise your hand. Come on, you've been living with something. I don't care what it is. Aches, pains, sickness, disease. You've been living with something. We don't have to live with that. And there are many people that you've been feeling like, man, it's just been so long. And I've been asking, and I've been asking, and I don't see it happening, and I guess this is just it. Many people feel like Mary and Martha felt, Lord, if you had only been here, Lord, if you'd only done this 4 days ago. But Jesus is here to tell you today, you don't have to look back in the past and go, I'd only been there. Jesus is saying, I'm here right now, and it doesn't matter how dead you think this is, I can wake up the miracles in your life. You think it's over, and Jesus says, it ain't over. See, the word resurrect, I looked it up. Resurrect means to bring a dead person back to life. That's what it means. But you know there's a second definition to resurrect? Here's what it says. Oh, get ready. Here's what it says. It says to cause something that had ended or been forgotten or lost to exist again, to be used again. See, Jesus wasn't just there to raise Lazarus from the dead. We know it because of what the scriptures say. He wasn't there to really just to raise Lazarus from the dead. He could have gone 4 days earlier and he could have healed him before he died. He purposely waited, not so that he could just resurrect Lazarus from the dead. He purposely waited because he wanted to wake up the miracles in Jerusalem that day. He wanted to wake up the miracles in his disciples' lives. He wanted to wake up the miracles. He wanted to wake up hope and faith in those people that day. And he wanted to show them it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It's not over. It's never over when Jesus is in control. He gets the last word. If you let him have the last word. Verse 12 through 15 says, the disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought that Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now listen, verse 15, watch. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you, is that up there? What's it say? For now, you will really believe. For your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. Jesus was saying, look, if I'd have gone with you and healed him before he died, you would believe, but now you're going to really believe. You had a level of belief, but Jesus said, I want to give you a whole nother level of belief. Verse 43. Put that up there. Verse 43. Then Jesus, what's that say? I said, then Jesus what? He did what? Remember when I said to you a few weeks ago, it's not about the volume of your voice. The power is in the spoken word of God. It's not about the power. You don't have to raise your voice, but there are times that it's appropriate. Amen? There are times you really do need to raise your voice. Maybe it's not for anybody else but you need to raise your voice. I mean, are you angry enough at the wickedness in this world that you'll raise your voice at the enemy? Jesus shouted, Lazarus! Come on, say it with me. Lazarus! Come on, he shouted, Lazarus! Come out! Father, wake up the miracles in us today. Wake up the miracles in us today. Close your eyes for a moment. The name Lazarus actually means God is my help. That's what his name means. Keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes closed. God is my help. God is my help. God is my help. So when Jesus shouted that day, this is what he was shouting. God is my help. Wake up! God is my help. God is my help. If you have any type of sickness or disease in your body, I don't care how long you've been dealing with it, I want you to come right now. If you know somebody, if you're not coming for yourself, if you know somebody you want to stand in for, I want you to come right now. I'll say a couple things to you. I'm going to tell you two things also about the church today, and then we're going to pray. I'm not going to lay hands on you. I'm going to pray with all of you. I want you to lay hands on yourself. And I believe that we just need to say to the Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. And I believe it doesn't matter how long I've been dealing with this. You can cure it, fix it, heal me right here, right now. It's not over. Tim, it's not over. It's not over. Not by a long shot. It's not over. Charlie, it's not over. For you or for your wife, it's not over. I don't know if y'all heard, but Chris this week was diagnosed with cancer. A couple tumors, right? It's not over. I'm just going to wait for a moment. I'm just going with what I feel led to say. Look, I need to tell y'all, it's okay to get angry. It's okay to be angry. You can be angry at the enemy. You can be angry at wickedness. He has tortured us for long enough. He has tormented us long enough. He has put sickness on us, and we've accepted it long enough. It's time to draw the line in the sand. We're not turning around. We're not going backwards. We're not saying, well, maybe God just wants me to live with this. No, God does not want us to live with this. There's nothing in His Word. There's nothing in His Word that shows us He wants us to live with this. Revelation chapter 3, two churches, or one church that Jesus is speaking to in particular, I want you to see. Verse 1. Write this letter to the angel of the church of Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Let me stop right there. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Now watch. He's about to tell you what the actions are, because a lot of people think the actions, my actions. Oh, my actions. What are my actions? Oh, I got to do all the right things. I got to say all the right things. Everything, the letter of the law. No, that's not what he's talking about. Watch what the actions are. Go to the next verse. Go back to what you heard and believed at first and hold firmly to it. Stop right there. Go back to what you heard and believed at first and hold firmly to it. I want you to do something for me right now. I want you to think back to the moment that you gave your heart to Jesus. Think back to the moment, the very moment it happened. You knew. I want you to remember the feeling that you had. I remember how I felt sitting on that wastebasket in the corner of that emergency room when my mom was dying. I remember the feeling that I had when I gave my heart fully to Jesus that day. I remember that I had this feeling that all things were possible, because all of a sudden, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords just came into my life. I remember I felt like I could run through walls and I could leap buildings. I remember I felt this superpower inside of me, like nothing was impossible in my life. Do you remember that feeling that day? That night, wherever you were. Go back to what you heard and believed at first and hold firmly to it. Now watch, repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief. Jesus is telling this church of Sardis, this is the last days church. He's telling this church, wake up! Wake up! Wake up the miracles again in your life. So I want you to just lift your hands, close your eyes. Just you and Jesus. Just you and Jesus. Come on, if you're watching right now live stream, I know there are many people watching today. If you're watching live stream, lift up your hands, close your eyes, if you're able to do that, wherever you're at. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've preached what you told me to preach. Lord, I want you to wake up the miracles in my life. I want you to wake it up, Father, in my spirit. Come on, can you say that to him? Say that to him. Say it with your own words. Father, wake me up. Wake up the miracles in my life, in my spirit. Wake it up, Father. Wake up your miracles, Father.